Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Ancient cave art is famously found in parts of Europe, like the paintings in Lascaux or the caves of Altamira in Spain. Ancient art sites also dot the landscape in the U.S. One of the most beautiful is in our backyard. The Pecos River-style murals are located near Del Rio and date back thousands of years. The site is famed for its grand White Shaman mural. Archaeologist Carolyn Boyd has studied the murals for years. She's also been credited with helping interpret their meanings. She joins us today to talk about some recent discoveries made at the site. Boyd begins by giving us some background on the indigenous inhabitants of the land who are responsible for these awe-inspiring artworks.
Well, about 12,000, maybe 13,000 years ago, people were living out in West Texas along the what is now, of course, the border between Texas and Mexico. And, you know, in the area of around Valverde County, Terrell County in Texas. And this is a semi-arid, kind of a semi-desert kind of an area, and has three major rivers running through it. You've got, of course, the Rio Grande. And then feeding into the Rio Grande is the Pecos River and the Devil's River. And where these three rivers come together is where we find an incredibly rich archaeological record that spans that 12 to 13,000 years. The people that lived there were nomadic, and they lived primarily through hunting and fishing and gathering of wild plant foods. They left behind for us an incredibly rich archaeological record, both in the form of the paintings that we have painted on the limestone and canyon walls, the rock shelter walls, but also in deposits, you know, across the landscape. So they also left behind a lot of different aspects of material culture. Their stone tools, their wooden implements, basketry, sandals, jewelry made from bone and from shell, a variety of things like that as well.
And I would assume the climate, despite the fact that there are, you know, three rivers converging, it's still a very dry desert climate there. And that has to do something, I'm assuming, with why these paintings and these artifacts were so well preserved.
That's correct. The climate has been predominantly dry. It's, you know, gone through changes over the past 12,000 years, obviously, where it's been more humid, you know, with more rainfall, and other times where it's in a deeper sense of drought. But regardless, it's been an arid area, and that has resulted in the preservation of these paintings. Otherwise, we wouldn't have them today. The fact that they've remained dry for all this time is really the main reason why we're still able to study them.
Well, I mean, these paintings are just so fascinating, and they seem so different than maybe some of the other petroglyphs that I've seen in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for example, or some that exist in Waco Tanks near El Paso. These have some really fascinating shapes and designs and images on them. Can you explain a little bit about, if somebody has never heard of these particular rock paintings in Seminole Canyon, what is it that people are likely to see if they were to view these paintings?
The Pecos River-style paintings are highly sophisticated, very complex murals. They're painted in colors, all earth colors, ranging from black to various shades of red, orange, yellow, and white. And they are, in some cases, quite large, you know, extending more than 100 feet long and 20 feet tall. They're really quite spectacular. And they contain images of what we call anthropomorphic or human-like figures, as well as zoomorphic or animal-like figures, and a wide range of enigmatic figures that really, at this point, defy interpretation. We don't know what they are. So it's an assemblage of all of these types of images coming together to form a composition. And that's, I think, one of the most exciting things that we've learned through the years is that these are not just a random assortment of images that were painted over hundreds or thousands of years at each site, but in many cases, actual compositions that were well planned out and perhaps executed in a matter of weeks.
And some of that research going into this library that you've called it of knowledge. Again, like you said, these are not random paintings. These are not random images. These were placed very purposefully, and you're still researching these paintings, the coloration, the composition of these paintings, and you're still discovering something new. Can you tell us a little bit about some of these recent discoveries from all the years that you've been working at the site?
Sure. When I first started working in the Lower Pecos, oh my goodness, it's been a while back. About 1988 was the first time that I visited the area. At the time, I was working as an artist professionally. And when I saw the murals, I recognized them as compositions. But at that point, everything that was written about it really assumed that they were random, that they were just a collection of images painted over hundreds or thousands of years. But that's not what I saw. We lacked at that point, though, a way to demonstrate it, I guess, scientifically, more objectively, rather than, just me as an artist saying, this is what I see, and doing kind of a formal art analysis of it, a compositional analysis, but a way to really do it objectively that could be seen by others. So what we've done, and this is, I think, been one of the most groundbreaking discoveries that we've made for the paintings. We used a digital microscope to study the painting sequence to try and understand the order that the paint was applied to the wall. And when we did this, we found that murals were painted following a very rule-bound color sequence where the artists applied the black paint first across the length of the mural, not just by individual figure, but across the length of the mural. Where there was black, they applied it first. They allowed it to dry. And after it dried, they applied the red. And again, there's various shades of red. So there, we can see those. We can begin to tease those out using a digital microscope. And then the oranges, and then the yellows, and then finally white. As a result of this painting sequence, we realized that the figures are all interwoven. They're not just this image and that image and this image. They essentially come together to form one big image because they're so interlaced with each other through this painting sequence. And that was the evidence that we needed to be able to demonstrate the compositional quality of these murals. But it really even goes further than that. I was a muralist, and I know how complicated it is to plan out something of that scale and then to apply it to a rough rock shelter wall, uneven, curving over your head, and high on the wall. So the amount of skill and time, resources that went into the production of these murals is extensive. They had to build scaffolding. They had to use ladders. It's quite a complex endeavor.
Carolyn Boyd is the Shumla Endowed Research Professor in the Department of Anthropology at Texas State University in San Marcos. We're talking about some of the recent discoveries made at the Pecos River style mural site on the Texas-Mexico border near Del Rio. When we come back, the rock art of the Lower Pecos is one of the earliest archives of ancient Native American beliefs.
There are aspects of what you see in the rock art of the Lower Pecos that you will also find expressed among the Hopi, the Comanche, and the Apache.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras.
Listener support comes in many forms, and now there's one more way to give back. You can donate land or real estate to Texas Public Radio and help keep local public media strong for future generations. We handle the process from start to finish, and your donation may qualify for a significant tax deduction. Turn your property into something meaningful. Call 800-277-HOME or visit tpr.careasy.org/realestatedonation to learn more.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Carolyn Boyd has dedicated her career to the study of the ancient Pecos River-style murals located at Seminole Canyon State Park and Historic Site in Valverde County. The murals consist of geometric shapes and animal and human-like drawings that date back thousands of years. And artists who created the murals followed a strict color layer application that they followed with painstaking specificity. These color techniques were passed down for thousands of years. Boyd is the founder of the nonprofit Shumla Archaeological Research and Education Center that works to preserve the murals of the Lower Pecos Canyon lands. Boyd is not just an archaeologist, she's an artist, a muralist. She says when she first saw the ancient images, she felt a grand connection across the millennia to the artists.
For me, it's, oh gosh, how do I even put this? When I realized this painting sequence that they were following, I just was simply blown away. And it was a highly emotional thing for me because I knew at that point what we were looking at, that we were looking at narratives, no question about it, that these are painted narratives, illuminated manuscripts, if you will, that everything carried meaning, every color carried meaning, but not just every color, but the sequence that they were applied to the wall carried meaning. Their arrangement in the mural carried meaning. The place carried meaning. Everything carried meaning. And of course, that just begs the question, what is it that they're communicating? Why would they invest so much time and resources to create something of this magnitude? And I think that's the part of the story that really has opened my eyes and my heart to the people, a better appreciation and understanding of the original artists.
Which is, I think, what every artist wants in their work. It doesn't matter if they're painting a mural today or they painted a mural hundreds or thousands of years ago, it seems.
Yes, and the murals that they did here, you know, this is one of the stunning things about it, is that they painted these murals beginning as far back as 5,700 years ago and continued to produce these murals up to about 1,300 years ago. That's a span of more than 4,000 years that they were producing what we call the Pecos River-style murals. Think about that for just a minute. 4,000 years. That's 175 or so generations. And the thing that is stunning about that is that we're not talking about each mural being produced over 4,000 years. Each mural was produced maybe within a few weeks or a single generation, but each mural through time, so maybe 5,700 years ago, they painted this one, and 5,600 years ago, they painted this one, and 5,500 years ago, they painted this one. And they did that for 175 generations.
And those techniques that you were talking about with the layering of the paint, for example, those were traditions that were passed down from generation to generation to generation.
Yes, the tools that governed how that paint was applied and what graphic vocabulary you used to communicate the information in the mural, that remained the same. It was passed down from one generation to the next for over 4,000 years. And you can look at one of the murals that was produced 5,700 years ago and compare it to one produced 2,000 years ago, and you might think it was produced by the same artist. They were that rigid in how they depicted these things. And that's because this is not about individual self-expression. This is about communicating information that was essential for life itself. It's stories of creation. And those stories have endured across that 4,000 years and are really, they're still told today in Native American populations today.
Is that sort of generational tradition unique to this place, or do you know if it's found in other rock art sites across the U.S. or even around the world?
You know, I'm not sure if this degree of continuity is present in other rock art traditions around the world. Certainly, let's put it this way. One of the things we have that's different here is that we have an incredibly well-dated, the paintings are incredibly well-dated, right? We have just recently obtained the 57 radiocarbon dates for 12 murals. And this makes the Pecos River style murals probably the best dated painted rock art tradition in the Americas. So, you know, it's hard to say, you know, maybe we'll find out that Barrier Canyon or that Baja California also persisted that length of time, but we don't have the dates for those to be able to say that it goes back to 5,700 years and continues across 4,000 years, right? So what we have in the Lower Pecos is just an incredibly well-preserved and well-dated rock art assemblage.
The article that I had read about these recent discoveries, they include a line on how this imagery influenced the belief systems of multiple Mesoamerican cultures. So are you saying that these stories that were being preserved in these canyons, that they did not stay isolated here? Were these traditions passed along to other cultures in Mesoamerica?
So scholars have for a very long time noticed strong parallels, similarities in the belief systems of Mesoamerica, the Aztec, the Maya, the Zapotec, and so forth, that there's this parallel, this common core that all of these religions share. And scholars have suggested that that's because at one point, they all did have a shared nucleus, a hard nucleus is what Alfredo Lopez Austin used to call it, that they all emerged out of this archaic hard nucleus of a belief system. The rock art of the Lower Pecos contains that hard nucleus. Those same core concepts that they identified among the belief systems in Mesoamerica, we see in the rock art of the Lower Pecos. But the rock art of the Lower Pecos predates the Aztec and the Maya and the Zapotec and these other groups by millennia. So we have the earliest record of that core cosmology painted on the walls of the Lower Pecos Canyonlands. So it's not so much that there was an influence, but what we have here is the earliest expression of it that was later manifested in the belief systems of Mesoamerica. But I would argue that this is perhaps something that even goes back further, that what we're looking at is a pan-new world cosmology, something that came across with the earliest migrations into the Americas. Because there are aspects of what you see in the rock art of the Lower Pecos that you will also find expressed among the Hopi, the Comanche, and the Apache. It's broad. It's much bigger than just Mesoamerica. So that's one of the things that makes this rock art so incredibly special, is that it is an ancient library that has, if you will, archived the earliest expressions of Native American belief.
And it's fascinating to me that every culture seems to have its creation myth. So what are some of the similarities or some of these sort of basic belief systems that are being depicted in some of this art that you might find in other Mesoamerican works, if you can give an example?
And again, going even beyond Mesoamerica, but in creation stories, the idea of traveling through the underworld at the very beginning of time, before there was a sun, traveling through the underworld, which may be presented as the dark waters, but it's the dark underworld, to emerge in the east, oftentimes through a cave or through a mountain or through some portal out of the underworld into the world above. And at that location, for there to be the birth of the sun and the emergence of all of humanity. And at that point, the establishment of time takes place. So this idea of emergence from the underworld at some point, some place on the landscape, is a very key one. And actually, in many ways, the Lower Pecos embodies a lot of the descriptions of what that would look like, with the deep canyons and the water running through the deep canyons, and then all the different caves and sinkholes and so forth in the landscape. It is kind of a mirroring this place, this landscape of emergence. So the stories would oftentimes include this, as I said, being guided through the underworld that's depicted in the west and coming up and emerging out of the underworld in the east. And at that point, the sun is born and time is put into motion and all the stars in the sky and so on and so forth. It's a common thread, this common idea of emergence from the underworld.
Well, I know there are listeners who probably have never heard of these paintings, and they are located not too far from San Antonio, close to Del Rio, actually. And they may be wondering if there is a possibility for them to explore or view these murals. And I know there are ways that the public can view these murals in person. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, they can absolutely go and see them, and I encourage them to do so. Seminole Canyon State Park provides guided tours to sites on their property. Those are well worth it. To go down and see sites like Fake Bell is really a spectacular treat. And the Whitty Museum does guided tours as well to the site referred to as the White Shaman Mural that they are stewards of. And these are both beautiful tours, and I encourage people to go and visit these sites, because until you've seen it yourself in person, it's hard to imagine just how spectacular they are.
And it's not an easy hike, from what I've seen.
No, it's not an easy hike, but it's well worth it. The Fate Bell tour is a lot easier than the White Shaman, but they're both well worth the trip.
You know, sort of an aside, I've been to see the Gila Cliff dwellings in New Mexico. Of course, the petroglyphs are there in Albuquerque. And it's just, to me, really kind of fascinating that all you see is landscape until, boom, you're there. And it's just so awe-inspiring just to see that, you know, so many generations ago, so many millennia ago, that life was carved out of these mountains, or there was a way to preserve their history by carving or painting images onto rock. I'm assuming that you have that kind of reaction when you bring people down there, where all they see is just this beautiful landscape, and then boom, you're seeing a piece of history that's been preserved in time.
Yes, it's an aha experience for so many people. Just really, truly blown away. And, you know, I think one of the things I'd really want the listeners to know is that so often we think of these ancient peoples that lived off the land as being vastly different than us. I've even been asked in the past, did they speak with a language or did they speak in grunts?
Oh.
You know, it's too easy to place them into that category of other. But they were more like us than they were different. They had the same cognitive capacity that we do. They had the same brain that put the space shuttle into orbit and that hopefully will someday find a cure for cancer. It's the same brain, same capacity. They loved, they laughed, they suffered trials and tribulations, they grieved the loss of loved ones. You know, they're just like us.
And their descendants are among us as well.
Thank you. Yes, their descendants are among us now. For a long time, I was told that we'll never know what these paintings mean because the people who painted them are gone. And I repeatedly say the particular artist that painted it may be gone, but the stories that informed their production live on in descendant communities today. The stories are still told today. When I spent time with indigenous folks at the sites and I hear them talking about and seeing and reading these murals, they're telling the same story, different aspects, but basically at the core, the same story that the people were telling thousands of years ago. So the stories live on in the descendant communities today. We also tend to view these paintings as static images. We look at them as just these two-dimensional paintings on a wall. From an indigenous perspective, though, these are living, active, breathing spirit beings. They are not something that was just important in the past, but they are important today. And I've been told repeatedly, that these images are living and that they are today still engaged in the act of creation, and they are still engaged in really maintaining the cosmos. And in many ways, they were not placed there so much for us to look at, but for them to look out upon us and all of creation.
Oh, beautifully put, Dr. Carolyn Boyd. Thank you so much for talking to us today on Fronteras.
Thank you so much.
Archaeologist Carolyn Boyd is the Shumla Endowed Research Professor in the Department of Anthropology at Texas State University in San Marcos. Boyd is the author of Rock Art of the Lower Pecos and The White Shaman Mural, an Enduring Creation Narrative in the Rock Art of the Lower Pecos. Public tours are offered of the Pecos River-style murals in West Texas. We'll have links to those tours at tpr.org. Fronteras editors are Dan Katz and Yvette Benavides. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thanks for listening.